I want you to think about it. Think about it. How did you spend this past week? How did you spend the week following Holy Week with all the focus and emphasis on the cross? Last Monday morning, did you get the kids off to school, head to work, navigate the rush hour traffic, clean house, and toss the jelly beans that found their way into the cushions of your sofa? Then make sure that the week ahead was scheduled with routine obligations and activities? Were the only reminders of Holy Week the photos that were made at the family gatherings with the leftover ham in the refrigerator? And the Easter baskets to be put away until next year? Now, if your week was anything like what I have just described as routine, then friends, you missed the message or the essence of Easter. You see, routine to most people means going back to doing everything the same way we've always done it. Let me suggest that last week should not have been routine as most of us think about routine, but routine in the way we live our Christian life. A Christian life, a godly life, that is a requirement of God. The blessing of God. It's the promise of the help of God to do exactly what we want to talk about today. Walking in step with Him. Walking in the same direction. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. When you come to the end of your life, how do you want to be remembered? Your kindness, your love, your generosity, your knowledge, your wisdom, your abilities and skills, your ability to relate to other people? Or will you be remembered for your stinginess, your pride, your jealousy, or your antagonistic attitude, your dishonesty? You didn't love anybody, you were just an angry person. What will people say about you when you're gone? You may be the type of person who says, "Well, I hope they don't remember anything about me." Well, they will. Maybe not much, but they will. Or will they say, "You know, I don't know a whole lot of things about him or her, but I do know this. They walked with God. That much I do know." How could you have anything any more uplifting and Christ-like than that? Than for someone to remember you as someone who walked with God. How does a person walk with God? How do you know when you are walking with God? Well, the answer is very simple. To walk with God means to keep Him at the center of all our thinking. Let me repeat that. To walk with God means we keep Him at the center of all our thinking, in everything we do, in everything we say, everything we think in our relationships, our finances, our plans, in every aspect of our life. That's what it means to walk with God. Now, if we are to keep Him at the center of our thinking, then there are several things that are essential for us to do. First of all, we must accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We must believe. That is the beginning. In other words, if we want to walk with God, we can't even get to God except through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 14, we read, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Listen, there is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. That one truth is why this congregation is now affiliated with the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, because there are those in some pulpits who embrace more than one way to salvation. But I've got to tell you, First Evangelical Presbyterian Church, right here in Roanoke, Virginia, preaches the truth of the gospel as found in this passage. You want to walk with God? Come to Jesus. Face the cross, the resurrection. That is where walking with God begins. Secondly, we must learn to listen to him. If we don't listen, then we will not follow him. If we don't learn to pray and listen to him, then we are not going to walk with him. Prayer, you see, is absolutely essential. And that is why prayer and meditation, the time we spend alone with him, is so important. When we are reading the word and talking to him and listening to him, he is going to show us things we cannot find any other way. God gave us his word because we needed to know how to follow him, to walk in his ways, and to be obedient to him. And we get into trouble by failing to listen to God. Ask yourself this question. How many times during the day do you stop and maybe just whisper a little prayer? Maybe you're driving down the road, or you're seated behind your desk, or you're working at your job. How many times do you just stop and whisper a little prayer to God and say, Lord, give me the wisdom in this situation. Show me the direction I should go. Or you might pray this way. Lord, close all the doors except the one you want me to go through. Close all the doors except the one I should take. Help me know how to handle this. Or do you just decide to do it your own way? So we must learn to listen. I'm reminded of our youth a few years ago when many of them wore those little bracelets that had WWJD etched on them. Remember that? What did WWJD stand for? Exactly right. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Like so much in our secular world, such things tend to become popular, then fall out of popularity for various reasons. But this is one I wish we emphasized more, especially with our young people. Come to think of it, all of us need to ask ourselves that question in our daily life. What would Jesus do in a situation like this? Then perhaps we would make the hard choice to do the right thing, because you know in your heart that Jesus would not be tempted in the way of the world. Thirdly, we must trust him. Oftentimes we will be talking with an individual who is burdened with all kinds of drama and problems in life. And after listening, as a good friend would, you might offer up, well, you know, you've just got to trust in the Lord. Well, their reply shows they're not trusting in the Lord at all. They say things like, well, I'm hoping and wishing and betting this or the other things are going to turn out all right, yet most of the time they don't. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 tells us, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Now listen to this. Why do I emphasize and put the emphasis on trust? Because sometimes God will, and many times, he will require something of us that simply makes no sense at all. It just doesn't fit. The timing is all wrong. The people are not the right ones. Well, it couldn't be him, it couldn't be her. No, it's. But God says, that is exactly what I want you to do. Nowhere does he promise us that we will understand. Remember the words to the old gospel hymn, We'll understand it better by and by when the saints of God are gathered home. We simply must trust him whether we like it or not. Fourth, if we're going to walk with him, then we must agree. We must agree with him. Have you ever disagreed with God? Oh yes, we all have at some point. Foolishly, perhaps, ignorantly. Maybe before we were in touch with God as well as perhaps we should be. And so what happens? We think that somehow we can make everything work. Listen, we are not taught by the scriptures that God is to agree with us. We're taught by the scriptures that we are to agree with him. He is the one who is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. Fifth, we have to obey. We have to obey him. God is going to require some things that you are not going to like and certainly not fully understand. But obedience to him is absolutely essential. Sometimes people ask why God doesn't bless them when the question should be, do I have a private communion with God? Do I talk to him every day? Well, I try to obey him, but hey, I'm only human and I can only do so much. Excuses, excuses, excuses. Obey him. Partial obedience is nothing more than disobedience. Every morning when we wake up, it should be our intention to obey God the entire day. If we are to walk with him, then we must surrender our will and obey him because we trust him and we want to walk in his way. God has a way for every one of us to walk. Tell God, I want to walk in obedience to you. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. We should wake up committed to him every day because that is who we are. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit always leads us to make wise, godly decisions because we are his children. We are walking in his spirit, and we are walking in his path. And so obedience is absolutely necessary. If we walk with him and walk in his way, then we may have to part ways with a lot of people. We can't have the world's friendship, close friendship, and walk in the ways of God. There are people who would have us walk in the ways of the world. Now, if we do that, then we have to lay down everything else that we have just been talking about. We will not walk with God and find ourselves going in the opposite direction. Now, the sixth essential, we must walk in step with him. This is where many people get into trouble. We may be walking in the same direction, but if we get out of step, we will get ahead of him, or we will lag behind him, or we'll start to move in another direction. This is the reason people today, believers, get into debt, because they get ahead of God, or they are into relationships they should not have because they get ahead of God. And so we are to keep in step with him. Ever notice the military, especially those special forces like the guards at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Every step is measured. Every step is timed. Every step is calculated because those soldiers are self-disciplined and committed, just as we should be in our walk with God. In order to stay in step with God, we must have a compass. That's why the Word of God must be a part of your life daily. Because this, my friends, is our compass. How do we know we will be walking in step? The compass. It never fails. It never fails. Listen. You read the Word of God and you will know if you are walking in the right path or not. And if you're in step with God, He knows all about your future. He knows all about your opportunities. He knows every weakness that you have. He knows the things that are most susceptible to you for disobeying Him. And so God has your whole life in front of Him. He knows what is best. He doesn't want you to get ahead of Him or to lag behind. You can trust Him about everything. And if you're going to walk with God, you have to trust Him. You have to follow Him, as we've said about all these other things. And you can't improve upon His timing. And so if you're going to live a godly life, following Him, trusting Him, listening to Him, obeying Him, every single step is important. And now for the seventh requirement. There is one other thing that is very important here, and that is this. We must love God. We must love Him. Our pastor, Dr. Don Hardman, makes that abundantly clear when praying. Nearly every Sunday you're here, we hear in his prayers, he always includes, "We love you," when talking to God. If you don't love God, then you're not going to follow God. If you love Him, you will wait for His timing. You will keep an ear open to His heart. Folks, I realize I'm from an older generation, and some of you might think a fossil from another era, perhaps, but I must say, lessons learned 75 years ago are just as relevant today as they were then. I remember so well when the four of us siblings were just little children, and we'd be climbing all over my mother's lap and hugging on her and giving her kisses, and she would say, "Children, you can show me your love by helping me. Pick up and clean your room and do things willingly when I ask you." You see, all the things we have said before are involved for expressing our love to God. And number eight, and the last essential, if we are to walk with God, then we must forsake sin. That means I am going to keep a clean heart all the time. And if something comes up that causes me to stumble in my thinking, I will deal with it right then and there. Sin does not fit who we are. It does not fit what God has planned for us. And sin always causes us to stumble and fall in some fashion or other. You know, as we walk along life's journey, there may be a hole or a rock which causes us to stumble and fall. But what do? We always pick ourselves up and we continue on. We don't just lie down and give up, but we make changes, life changes. We must be willing to make those changes in order to walk in obedience to God. Ask God if there is something in your life that He knows should not be there. Surrender to the perfect will of Almighty God. That is why He says in 1 John that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is what we do with sin. Confess it and walk away from it. Confess it and walk away from it. Now let's go back to the very first question I asked you this morning. When God calls you home, what will people know you for? You may be very gifted in some areas, and you may be very famous. You may be quite wealthy. You may be one of many things. But will they be able to say, "You walked with God"? Only if you do walk with God. In closing, I want to share with you the story of a man we will call Ernie. Ernie passed away after a six-month fight with cancer. He was in his mid-40s, in the prime of his life. But towards the end of his life, the cancer was taking control and preventing him from speaking. His mind was clear, but he could not talk. So he worked out a very simple sign language by holding up three fingers to communicate with those around him. Now, I ask you, if you had a choice of communicating only three things, what would they be? Well, I can tell you what they were for Ernie. One finger meant, "I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty." He could not eat, but water would help him clear his throat and quench his thirst. Two fingers meant, "I'm in pain and I need help." Just imagine how important that message was for the doctors and the nurses. And three fingers meant, "I love you." Those three fingers show us what we all need, how God comes to us. You see, God touches us at the point of our thirst, our pain, and our need for unconditional love. Jesus said to the woman at the well, "If you only knew who I am, you would ask me for living water, and you would never thirst again." There are people all around us holding up one finger as if saying, "I'm thirsty for hope, for forgiveness, for strength." And then there was Zacchaeus, the rich little tax collector, up in a tree to see Jesus when he was going through Jericho. Jesus looked up and saw Zacchaeus up in that tree, a man who was hated and despised, holding up two fingers, crying out in pain. And what did our Lord do? He invited him to lunch, and his life was changed forever. And the most important thing you can know about God is that he loves you unconditionally. There is nothing you can ever do to make God stop loving you, and there is nothing you can do to make him love you more. Behind every hello is a hidden goodbye, and the more the hello matters, the more the goodbye hurts. Our time we have here on this earth, my friends, is limited. Someday is going to be our last day, probably not tomorrow, hopefully not for years to come, but some inevitable, eventual, inescapable, certain someday, we are all going to die. None of us has forever. Everlasting life with God is something else, but this is the only life we will have here. We're not going to get to do it again in order to get it right. If you want to have a deeper faith by walking with God, then let's begin immediately. And friends, that is what follows Easter Sunday. As you leave here today, let God's Spirit quench your thirst. Let God's grace and mercy and peace ease your pain. And let God's love comfort your heart. And it will happen. Oh yes, it will happen when we walk with God. Amen. Won't you pray with me?